Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio Show, Indigenous Voices of the People. And the guest host tonight here introduced Bruja Money and all of our guest callers who will call in and join in discussion. This is being one of our advocates of the Native Indians around the country who have maintained the language, the culture, throughout the years, and is definitely knowledgeable on issues of the injustices down to the Native tribes all across the country, and very familiar with different circumstances going on in different reservations. We welcome all of the independent nations, Turtle Island, those Aboriginal and Indigenous nations who have maintained their independence and have reaffirmed and reestablished their independence. We welcome all of you, everyone across Turtle Island, this great country of ours, which we call America. We welcome all the listeners and all the callers. We always open our show with a prayer, thanking our great Creator, and we end with a song. We honor all of our elders and ancestors and all of our people of today and the people yet to come up tomorrow. We thank you all for joining us once again, Friday night show of Indigenous Voices of the People. And we encourage all our listeners to call in, engage in the conversation, share your knowledge, share the happenings which are going on as we discuss different issues which are happening on different reservations and different urban areas and different centers around the country. Our call-in number is 657-383-1630. 657-383-1630. And everyone is welcome to voice their opinion. And we should be patient with each other so that we can understand one another and move forward in this struggle for justice, freedom, and independence. We open with a prayer. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تين وزيتون وطور سنين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أسفل سقيم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. وما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. All praise be to our Creator, the Beneficent and Merciful, and of the Dear Judgment. Be alone to be worshipped. Be alone that we ask for help. Be alone that we seek guidance. Show us the straight way, the way of those who earn our favor, not the way of those who earn our wrath, nor of those who go astray. We ask our great Creator to bless us all as the human nation, as the animal nation, as all the other nations of men is created upon the earth and in the universe. Those who receive, those who do not receive. We ask our Creator to strengthen us, guide us, purify our souls, purify our hearts, purify our minds. Give us the innate ability to look after one another, to take care of our responsibilities as a human being upon this earth. To take care of our elders, take care of our youth, take care of our neighbors, take care of our people and kin. And of extended kinship, and those whom we know and those whom we do not know. And we stand up and be accountable and be responsible. And we join in the good and forbid that we should do it. If we see a wrong, we stop it with our hands. to give those who are on the forefront, who when we see a correction happening, the people that we stand against that, and we make that correction so that there will be fairness and balance throughout the land for all of them. This is the meaning of being free. This is the meaning of independence. This is the meaning of being a true human being. Being one who is the original human being, true human being, the honorable. The one who speaks, he speaks truth. The one who's given a trust, he takes care of the trust. The one who's given a duty, he discharges the duty. This is honesty. This is true integrity of the people. And this is what we should strive for. Excellence. Excellence in character. So that the people know us by our works, not by the words of our tongue. I told you to speak good words, truthful words, honest words. This way we will be always under the umbrella of the mercy and the blessing of our great Creator. Not be of the corruptors, those who lie and cheat, and mismeasure and trade, and who are jealous, avarice, haughty, arrogant. We seek refuge in our Creator, at least if you ever display this type of character or have this type of attribute that we wish to be of those who are on the straight path, if we are doing righteous deeds, if we are speaking honestly, so this is we teach our children as traditional people. We try to stay close to nature. We try to stay close to our Creator. We try to stay close to Mother Earth. And keep close kinship with all the created beings, whether it be plants, animals, insects, the fowls, the rivers, the lakes, the grasses, the leaves, all of the living beings, every sacred drop of water. We want to honor these, honor our mothers, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our neighbors. We want to honor them. And how do we honor them? Being righteous, doing the good deeds. These are the things that maintain throughout time. You know, we leave a legacy of good that we have upon this earth and plant these seeds amongst men so that these good deeds will travel. Once your life ends and you journey on to the spirit world, what did you leave behind that will endure through time? On this side, the benefit of people, things that endure is those righteous actions and deeds. Anything you take with you to the spirit world is what you set before you, those actions and deeds and intentions. We implore all our people to go back to the original ways that the Creator gave us. Believe in the great Creator. He speaks honest words. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Have gained mastery and control over yourself and over your desires so that your spirit may be free, your spirit may be clean, your spirit may be right. This is how we believe in our indigenous work. This is our culture. This is what we believe the Creator gave us in the beginning. And this is what we try to keep alive to this day. This is what we live on. And we ask no man for his permission to be free. We ask no man for his permission to live a life of balance and honesty. We do this because this is what the Creator gave us. This is the path we live in. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. So we want to advocate for our people to have good food, clean food. We want to advocate for our people to have good housing, have a decent life, have good food to eat, a good life, a good dwelling to live in, a means to come to the right of space, and those rights should be safeguarded, so that the people can live in balance and harmony with the rest of the creation, with the great Creator created for us. So I'm not going to talk the whole show. Welcome to our show. It's 10 after 7. Eastern Mountain Time. Eastern Time. And 10 after 5 Mountain Time. And we welcome all the indigenous people to the show. It's your show, folks. So we thank our sister, Leona Grassley, Abraham, who enabled us to have this opportunity to voice our ways, our concerns, and get this message out to each other and to the public that we are still here. We still have our way of life, and our way of life is the way of life that the Creator gave us. So many different languages, so many different styles, so many different cultural ways, all things that are created for us to share and learn from one another, not to despise and hate one another. This is brought by the wayfarer. When the Europeans came here, they came as a wayfarer, seeking home, seeking food, seeking guidance, seeking protection, seeking shelter. And we gave that to them. They squandered it. They're still trying to make their way today without really realizing the real principles. So we hope that eventually we will come to know before the advent of their departure to the spirit world that they too have to turn it around and get back in the balance, the natural flow of the human universe, and their submission to the Creator, and their submission to Mother Earth, and their submission to be in harmony with all the living beings, not in conflict. So, hopefully, we will have a good show tonight, folks. We'll turn it over to you to discuss the issues in which we need to rectify ourselves better. And my brother, Tanika Juha Money, is with us tonight. Tanika, welcome to the show.
Hey, how y'all doing this evening? Hey, did little brother Devin come on?
Devin, this may be his number. Devin,
you there? Devin has number 307.
307, yeah, I think Devin is there.
You guys hear me or what?
Yeah, we can hear you. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Devin.
Yeah.
Can you hear us okay?
Yep.
All right, great, great. We got good audio tonight, too. You can hear everybody. Go ahead, Chinook.
Well, first of all, you know, when I wanted to say to the listening audience, Chinook was out doing a lot of work for our people and keeping our elders, you know, I've met families that are in need of certain, you know, household items and so forth, bed, coffee, food, you name it. But I asked my little brother Devin to come on to host the show because, like I said, I'm traveling back to the Pioneer Indian Reservation and for other majority of people calling in tonight. This show is consistently your show, folks. Over and over, we value that, you know, the voice, the indigenous voice you can make the show belongs to you, in honor of our sister, Leona Brando. And so we're taking this opportunity to give you a show, and you can host it, you can do whatever you want to talk about, mainly the things that are going on in Indian country. And so with my little brother coming on, you know, Devin can give you some highlight of whatever he experiences or whatever this was on his reservation, the same way with what goes on in Pine Ridge. But I would say this, though. You people that are tuning in do not have to be shy. Don't be doing that. Native people were never that way. Long time ago, we knew who we were, and we knew who we were, even after the colonists arrived. And so the sad thing is that colonial practice that keeps us divided is what they have done. And so a majority of our people are living under that rule. But it's your show is to talk about the things that go on in your country, and that's how we give you the Brits the knowledge of how you can live. So as we continue on, I'm going to, you know, welcome my little brother to start wherever he wants, and let's enjoy the show for the next few, you know, hour and a few minutes that we have left to continue to show the atmosphere of, you know, learning. And this is also important that you discharge a lot of your information that your tribal governments are giving your land areas being, you know, handled by the white race. So I'm going to turn it over to my little brother, Devin. Devin, go right ahead, brother.
Hey. Have a good Sabbath. So my name is Walks Out of Water. I'm a Arapaho from Wyoming, and it's good to be here with all of you. I'll be your host for the evening, as Chinupa stated. So today we have a magnitude of things occurring on reservations across the country as we speak. One of the biggest issues that I have seen so far is the issue of the land buyback, you know, and that's what the Bureau of Indian Affairs and this COVID, you know. People don't understand that that all this money that we're getting right now is being used, it's going to be used for another exploitation factor to take away from our rights that we already have as traditional people. And so one of the main factors to this that I want to point out is what we call our Basa Alwunen, our Big Lodge men. Our Big Lodge is what we call the Sundance every year. And at this point in time, this year, they had to, people, if they wanted to go participate in our Sundance, you know, they wanted to go make vows, they wanted to go fast or dance, or they wanted to go even be near the grounds to camp, they had to submit these, you know, COVID tests, or they had to get the vaccine, you know. And a lot of people don't understand that you don't have to do those things. You see, the tribal governments at this point in time are only following protocols that the federal government gave them in order to receive certain X amount of dollars, right? And so when, just going to use an example of my wife's mother. She participated in the Sundance this year. And last year, my brother went into Sundance. And they both asked me, what do you think I should do, Devin? Because, you know, they still have that amount of faith, you know, where they stand on that. And they understand that there's nothing that will be, I guess you say, created that will protect us from our own God, right? And so when my brother last year, he wanted to go participate in Sundance, I told him what to do. And we have a Sundance chief, you know, or priest, or whatever you want to call him. He's the keeper of our Sundance Lodge. And he's the one who met with the chief medical officer here on the reservation for the 638 IHS clinic we have. It's called Wind River Cares over in Arapaho in Ithiri, Wyoming. And they got together with this board of elders, and they, you know, pretty much said if anybody wanted to do that, they had to get vaccinated and they had to get tested. And my brother and my mother-in-law, they didn't want to, you know, they didn't believe in that, in doing those things. And so I told them what to do, and I went up to this guy's house with them. And it's pretty much, I didn't even have to go in the house. He told them that they could participate in the Sundance as long as, you know, as long as they showed up that day, you know. And I mean, people don't understand that these things that are occurring on the reservation, the only reason that people are enforcing us to do these things is because we let them. Right? When you take that understanding of your people and you stand on that independence that you've always had, they have no choice but to let you be who you are and who you were destined to be. You know? So we were able to get them to participate in our Sundance without following all these tribal protocols that people put into place. You know, they didn't have to take a test. They didn't have to get vaccinated. Have to do none of that stuff because we understand who we are. You see? And another thing, you know, with that in mind, this year, probably in either the next month or September, I'm going to be taking myself and probably about five or six other men, they're veterans from my reservation, and we're starting a warrior society here on the reservation, and we're going to start advocating for, you know, people of domestic violence, sexual abuse. You know, we're going to start going to patrolling neighborhoods on the reservation to try to counteract and combat the problem of the drugs, you know, methamphetamines, the opiates, the heroin, you know, all those bad things that people are giving to our populace now that's poisoning our mind. You know, it's poisoning children now. You know, so it's getting pretty serious here on my reservation. You know, in the last 2 years, there's been about 30-something murders, 30-something homicides. You know, and there's been a bunch of suicides. I don't even remember I think I lost count after 60. But that's how much they've been in the last 2 years. You know, those are young kids. Those are old people, you know, all the way up to, you know, 65, 70, you know. And that's due to the drug addictions, you know, and the alcohol addictions. But part of that warrior society and what we're trying to do is bring back that cultural identity that was stolen from us less than 153 years ago, right? People don't understand that when the government took us and they put us on reservations, they corralled us under reservations, they, you know, they required us to pretty much give up our way of life, and they forced us to do such a thing, right? And they took our children, and when they took our children were gone for a long time, you know, until they were adults or young adults, you know, they got taken from when they were two, you know, all the way till they were 16, 17, and they came back home, right? And so when all this stuff had occurred, these parents that were here on the reservation, the government would give them whiskey. They would give them, you know, different forms and various forms of alcohol. You know, they called it welfare whiskey. They give it out with their food rations, you know. And so any parent who was raising a child, you know, from an X amount of age, you know, whether it was 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, you know, even a year, when your child is ripped from your arms, you know, we're gonna have a lot of amount of grief. And so when they gave us the bottle, you know, that's how we dealt with it. And it wasn't our fault. We were forced to do that. You see, and so that's the cycle that we have to work on breaking as tribal communities. And that's what our goal is to this warrior society, is to start educating and enlightening people about what actually happened to us. Because a lot of people don't understand, if you talk to them, what actually occurred to us. They think that we came to the reservation freely. They think that we adopted Indian Reorganization Act governments freely. They think that the reason we don't hunt buffalo is because the buffalo left. No, the buffalo got exterminated by white men, for white men. And we don't understand that, right? And we still think that tribal governments are helping us, but they're actually hurting our way of life more than they're helping. The more amount of social programs that we get on the reservations, it doesn't matter which country or what part of the country you're in. You know, you get child welfare programs, you get child protective services, you get battered and domestic violence women, you got white, you know, recovery programs for addiction, alcohol, substances. You have clinics, you know, for rehabilitation and health structures of tribal people. You know, you have Boys and Girls Clubs, you have recreational centers, right? You can have all these things. You can have millions, even billions of dollars worth of equipment, worth of personnel, you know, facilities, right, on reservations. But the problem is the statistics are going to always keep rising because they're not focusing on one thing. And that one thing will always be who we are, right? The songs that we have, the ceremonies that we have, the foods that we eat, right? It's hard. It's hard. My grandmother always used to tell me when I was a child, it's hard to be Native, you know, it's hard to be Arapaho, it's hard to walk our road. And I never really truly understood what that meant till I got older. Because I have horses back home, you know, and I try to raise my children, you know, in a traditional sense, right? And there's things that you have to do, right? And there's a certain lifestyle you have to adapt, and there's things that you can't do in the white man's world that will contradict with yours as a human being, as my grandmother would say, right? And so when you have to put yourself into the white society, they're gonna make you violate your own traditional protocols right out the gate, right? Because if you go eat in a restaurant, right, I still pray when I go eat. If I go eat in a restaurant, we say a prayer before we eat, and everybody in the restaurant stops and stares at us like, what are you doing, you know? But that's what I'm trying to point out to everybody, is that the white society was the structure of white civilization was destined, and it was created to destroy indigenous culture and an indigenous way of life. You see, and that's something simple like giving thanks for your food, saying a prayer for your food, you know, giving an offering for your food, right? And that's just one aspect of it, is a restaurant. You see what I'm saying? And so that's where we are today. And when this warrior society was being created, we had a bunch of men come in, you know, who were half-stepping, I should say, right? They were putting their hand, they were putting their foot in the circle, and they were stepping back out, right? Like, I'm here, I'm not here. Right? You can't do that if you're trying to make a change in tribal worldviews or even tribal lifestyles. Because if we half-step, then I can turn around and say, it's all right if I go take a shot of this. It's all right if I smoke this joint. It's all right if I take a hit of this light bulb where I snort this line, right? Because we're half-stepping on ourselves. We don't truly believe in what makes us who we are, you see? And that's the problem we had to deal with right off the gate. So we had to sit down with some of them guys and tell them, you know, either you're going to be here and you're going to be a part of this, or you're not going to be here at all. You make that choice. And sad to say, a lot of them, you know, some of them backed out. They didn't want to be a part of it because it was too hard for them, right? It was too hard for them. We talked about one of the main things we're going to have to deal with is we're going to be fighting with our own families. Not necessarily fighting against them, but we're going to be fighting for them to try to help them understand this way of life that was taken from us, right? And we talked about if we still had cousins, you know, or nephews or brothers or sisters or, you know, nieces or moms or dads or even grandmas or grandmas that were still using those, you know, those substances, that we'd have to make a stand against them, you know, and pretty much tell them that type of behavior is unacceptable and that it would have to change. And so a lot of them guys, they didn't want to do that, right? Because of the church mechanism and the church mentality that gave us, you know, respect your elders, respect this, or don't never speak out against anybody who's older than you, right? We always, our people always had a divine strength that was given to us from the Creator, which was courage. And we always had the courage to speak out against anything that we thought was wrong. And we all had that right to do so as long as we did it in acceptable form, right? And that form was through ceremony. You see, right now, in our way of life, we've been trained through the church system, through boarding schools, to not even do things like that. If you have a disagreement, even in a sweat lodge, in today's world, it's frowned upon to say something about anything, because people will say, hey, you can't do that here. This is a holy place, right? But it was like that prior to colonization. We were allowed to speak to each other in that manner as long as we explained our reasoning for doing so. So if someone did something wrong, we were able to correct them and explain why we did things a certain way.
Right on. See? We're coming from Belfort G. All right,
Chinupa, you're not on mute, bro. Anyway, that's one example I wanted to give, right? And so part of that is giving our young men and our you know, even our middle-aged men the practice of being a provider, right? Because in today's world, you know, how we hunt today, you know, a lot of people, majority of people, you know, I still go get a deer or an elk when I need food for my family. You know, that's just who I am, and that's what I'll always be because I was taught that way, right? But in today's world, the modern form of hunting is to go to work every week and get 40 hours of paycheck, right? And then you go hunt at Walmart. You go hunt at your local convenience store, you know, or your grocery store. And that's what we've become, you see? And so when you're hunting with your family, whether it be your brothers or your sisters or your cousins or even your your intermediate family, you know. There's a bond that's created there because you're spending time with each other. You have memories. You create memories. You're making stories to be told, right? And there's time invested in each other. And when we do things like that, it gives us that connection back to each other and back to the land that we once lost. You see, and so those are some just small examples that I'm using here, right? So people can kind of grasp this concept that I'm trying to portray. And one of those things that we're trying to do with the Warrior Society is give that provider back to, you know, to young men and young, you know, middle-aged men who are still, you know, hooked on the struggles of addiction or, you know, whatever their shortcomings may be. And that's what we're going to do in September or August, depending on when the park service up in Montana gets back to us. We're going to go hunt about 6 or 7 bison, and we're going to bring back that society dance that we once did 120 years ago. And that's what we're going to do, you know, and that for me, I feel like it's going to create a lot of tension within the tribe, because people are going to turn around and say, hey, that way's gone. You can't do that. That practice is gone. You can't do that, right? And we heard that a lot of times before. But one of the things about that is our people are starting to have visions. They're starting to have things happen to them that reference our old societies. Right here in 2021, these spirits are starting to come back to our young ones and even our old ones and talk to them about what we used to have and why it needs to come back to our people. Because the spirits themselves are starting to come out and show themselves to our people to say, hey, this is what you need to do. This is our way. This is this thing you're doing right now, it's not helping you, it's hurting you. And so that's what our people are starting to have happen here on the reservation. You know, and I'm only sharing this with the listening audience so they can understand that this is occurring in today's world, right? And so our dog soldiers are going to come back. So we're all crazy men. And so we're all, so will our young Tokalas, you know, our Kit Fox Society members, even our young Ravens and our Starmen. They're all going to start coming back because it's necessary for us to do that so we can have that sense of belonging. And gangs on reservations are a real problem right now. People don't believe they are. People say they're not, but they are. When about 3 years ago, when we were working with the Rosa Salamanca, Chinooper brought her here. Me and Chinooper brought her here to the reservation, and we tried to conduct an internal organizational investigation on the reservation system here in the Bureau of Indian Affairs to see if people's tribal rights were being violated. And the sad thing about that was a lot of people didn't come forth because they were afraid, you know, or they just didn't want to. But one of the things I wanted to talk about there was the FBI. I got contacted by the FBI about 2 weeks later, and the FBI sent me a lot of information with regards to the reservation here on in Wind River. There's about 22 affiliated gangs here on the reservation in Wind River. And I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but they're the ones that have been running drugs. They're the ones that have been running women, young women, you know, all over the res. And the sad thing about it is there's not enough personnel, they say. I just don't think they care. But they say they don't have enough personnel to combat that right now. And that's the problem. You see, that's an injustice right there. The federal government is openly admitting that they don't have enough personnel or funding to battle what's going on reservations. I just don't think they want to, right? And so that's what's occurring on our reservation in today's age, within COVID, within all the restrictions that we have to follow, you know, with all these fire restrictions they got going on, you know, and everything, you know, I think a lot of people are giving in to this fear-based civilization that has been created, right? And so one example I want to use about fear, right, is a dog. And so if a dog has a puppy and that puppy is ripped from that dog right after it comes out of the womb, instead of being able to suckle on its mama's, you know, milk supply, that dog is then poked and prodded at with needles. It's looked at by a bunch of scary figures with masks and, you know, these blue gowns on, and they just pretty much bother this little puppy, right? That puppy is going to have a fear within itself for the rest of its life that was given to it since birth. It's going to be controlled since birth, right? And so if you look at that dog, when it interacts with its mother, there won't be that bond that was supposed to be created. The mother then may try to create that bond again. It may be able to do so, or it may not, right? And that's what's happening to us in today's age. I just went through the whole cycle of a childbirth in 2021, right? And that's what happens to us right now. All the new children are being born on reservations. That's what's occurring, and we're giving it to them freely. You see, and so that's the whole mechanism right there that we give into. You see, when my daughters were born, we tried to have a home birth, but there was no home birth doctors available, so we had to go to the hospital. But when my daughters were born, I never let them out of my sight one time. I never let the nurses take them. I didn't let any of the doctors take them. They stayed in the room with me and their mother. And the police, it got so bad that the police had to come in and tell me that I was violating the hospital's rights. And I had to turn around and tell the police, how does a hospital have right over a living human being? It's a corporation. It's not real. And me and the cops had to have an argument. And they said, well, if you don't want care for the hospital, we need you to sign this waiver. And I said, well, give me the waiver. So we signed it, and then we left. We were there for 12 hours on my first daughter's birth, and my second daughter's birth, we were there for 14 hours. We didn't let them stay. We didn't stay longer than that. And now, you know, that's part of practicing who you are, believing in who you are. Right, they tried telling us that my daughter was gonna, you know, have medical complications because her skin was a little discolored. But my wife had a condition when she was pregnant for our second daughter, something, I don't remember what the term was called, but the uterus was pushing up against her kidney or something, and she had to give an early birth, and so she pushed her out. But that's what the doctors are trying to say to us, that she was gonna die, and we said no. So we took her home and we bathed her in sage water, and we burned seed in. And I prayed for her. You know, and she made it. She's alive. You know, and that's because I believed in who I was, and I still believe in who I am. You know, my daughter today is strong. She's bigger than my first daughter. You know, she's a giant. But I'm just giving these examples to explain so people can try to relate this into their life, right? And one of the things I see in tribal viewpoints throughout the reservation here is, you know, the lack of patience that we have with one another. You know, these old ones, even these young ones that are supposed to be being taught, and the ones that are supposed to be teaching don't have patience with each other. You see, and that's one of the things I was taught as a kid, you know, is in order to learn something, you have to truly sit and watch, you see? And we're not taking that time out of our lives to do these things anymore. But that's part of what I see going on reservations across the whole, you know, U.S. I'm pretty sure it's pretty rampant everywhere. You know, is the drugs, you know, the gap between, you know, the older generations and the younger generations, you know, with regards to technologies, you know, and all the social media stuff, you know, the addictions, you know, everything. It all has to do with white society, man, you know, and the sooner that we understand when we pick up that way of life, it comes with complication. It's always going to be complicated because if you look at white men, they don't know who they are. They don't know where they're from. And so they're always very angry. They're always walking around like they have somewhere to go, like they're really important. You know, when they took the time to actually sit down and just, you know, wait, sit down and take their time, they might actually be able to live life a little. You see, and that's what I just wanted to point out, is that we're moving way too fast right now in today's age, way too fast. We have automobiles, you know, we have televisions, you know, people have they have fast food restaurants. They can just go and, you know, get whatever they want like that. You know, they have movie theaters on their TVs. You got cell phones, you know, all that stuff. And that's what's really killing us, you know, killing our spirits. And the sooner that we understand that, and the sooner that we can cut down on some of them habits that they gave us, that they created, you know, I feel like we'll be better off in the long run as nations again. You know, and that has to go back to ceremony. It has to go back to kinship, you know, and brotherhood and sisterhood, you know, all the way up the line, man. You know, and then we can start building and bridging those gaps that were created from colonialism. You know, because right now a lot of people don't know who they are, and they don't even know our history, you know. But that's just what I wanted to speak on, you know. And I'll go ahead and open up the line, you know, and if anybody wants to talk about anything or, you know, want to ask any questions, you're more than welcome to. But I'll give it back to you, Jabril. I hope.
So what Brother Davin was saying is called identity crisis. So what he's saying is the majority of people don't know who they are, where they are, and where they come from. That's called identity crisis. So people, as you're saying, this is your show. So anyone has to elaborate what he's just saying, speak up, because you know he's trying to get more feedback. What he's about to talk, what the topic is. So listen on this 198-0762. Do you have anything feedback? What it, the brothers are just saying.
Right now I'm just listening because this is all interesting. If there's other people that want to speak up, I might come in later.
Okay, how you doing, Rachel? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing good.
Welcome back to the show. So anybody else would like to comment, elaborate, and then call it 505-6236. That's it. We lost 505. A couple of our callers just disconnected. Got to call back in. Sometimes the calls drop.
Hey, Jabril.
Hey, yes, hey. Welcome.
Yeah, I punched the wrong number, or the wrong thing.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. How's everything going?
Oh, it's going, man. We're steady in the struggle. And to keep things moving forward. We're working on progress in the UN and those things to the forefront for all of our native people.
All right. Well, I was listening to, what's his name, Devon?
Devon.
Devon, yeah, talk. And
yeah.
I don't know if he's listening right now, but... maybe he knows Mark Bigroad from Etati. He died quite a while back, but you may know him or know of him. Anyway, he used to be, he didn't call himself a medicine man, but he used to say that too. I'm not a medicine man, he would say. But anyway, he would do the UEP ceremonies. I've been in ceremony with him many times. And, you know, he was the real thing right there, Mark Bigroad. In fact, he may have been the last one of his kind when he died. And the last time I was with Mark was in a sweat lodge, a sweat lodge ceremony with just me and him and another tribal member. And Mark told us, he said, all these years, I said, I've been doing this 20 years, Sundance and Sweat Lodge. And he said, every year I get rid of one rule. He said, I only have two left. And it was just the three of us in this sweat lodge. And he said, one is you go to the right or you go to the left and come out the door. And the other one is you pass the water to the right. In Mitakiyasi, you pass the water, take a drink. And those are the two rules I have, he said. And so started going. And when it finished, he passed the water to Buddy. Buddy took a drink, handed it back to him, to the right. And then Mark didn't say anything, and then, you know, gave me the water. And then he took the water and poured it on the rocks and everything there. And then it was time to go out. And so he opened the flap up, and he went out, and I went out. And Buddy didn't follow us out. He went out the right side again. He broke both those rules. And Mark didn't say anything. But he died a couple of years after that. And so, as far as I know, the way it stood when he died was there was no more rules to the footlock ceremony. At least when he did it. So, you know, those things are kind of a thing of the past almost. I don't know if there's any real spiritual leaders like Mark left anymore. There may be, but I just don't know. Even Orville, I don't know about that guy either. And some others, but anyway. I know what Devin was saying about the things happening on the reservation. Yeah, that's true. And I think you have to revive some of those old traditions and so on, and maybe all of them. And not only that, but need to do it in a way that is really, really conducive to it. Like me and Chinupa, when we was proposing a, we drafted up a proposal for funding for a certain area to start to initiate our independent nation status and have a location, you know, a central location to work out of. And we proposed a sanctuary, spiritual sanctuary in the Black Hills, composing of like about, I think it was 100 square acres. And in that sanctuary was going to be no technology. Technology-free area, going to be just like a natural area. And the only way to do that is to get an area like that is to really declare our independence, to gain our independence, get recognition, and get control of our entire area back so we can control our own resources and our own territory. And so I think, you know, that's one thing that Devin's right on track with, and we want to keep moving in that direction, even though we're talking about having a Lakota, you know, national government and so on, independent nation state. That doesn't exclude the Arapahoes. They're a big part of that, and I think Devin could take a big part in it. And so, you know, that's all these things are what we need to push forward with, everybody. Anyway, I'll turn it back to you, Gabriel.
Thank you. Yes, it's a very interesting point. And it's exactly on point, as I'm concerned. We come from many different nations and pronunciations. We are only one people. We declare ourselves as the indigenous nation independent. And they are not. We never went anywhere. Just been sitting idle, quietly. Yet we go about where busy go away. With the life that we gave them. We gave them this life. know, food in this place, all the time. You can say you talk to me. Sometimes I have to talk to you because of who I am. Because, you know, it's nice to do. We talk when necessary, but say those sound things, like you just said. The Arapaho, the Cheyenne, the Lakota. This is how they stopped the 7th Cavalry, the unity of those three nations, coming together as brothers and business. It's the only way we're going to be able to, I think, have a better, more clearer voice and be more recognized and more heard around the world. We declare our independence. No matter what name we call it, the Native Nation, the American Nation, we all come from the independent nation, we get together. And that pronunciation has been very successful. Thank you for that, Jackson. This point to where the Devin brought that you got to our listening audience to give some thought to you. You know, it's a united, we stand, divided, we fall. This is a very true saying. Because 10 arrows together, you have a very hard time breaking it, as opposed to taking one arrow and bending it. This is how they did us 200 years ago, 100 years ago, when you died, separated, you took yourself one by one. Because division and separation, when we already were collective understanding, we already were collective understanding. We have been able to be captured. So much land through lies and corruption and cheating and dishonorable ways. We have acres there, we have to be strong for it. So, Brother Devin, we turn it back over to you. When you guys do that buffalo hunt, I would very much like to call us. We're doing a couple of our warriors out. We'd like to support and participate in that. That's the way we live out here. We need meat, we need production. We either grow it, hunt it. A little bit we buy some chicken here and there from some of our other brothers who have markets, but we don't eat outside from the sheep and pig. Not at all. It's missing some of the other brothers from the box for that. We don't eat their meat because the four-legged are sacred to us. And if they didn't die in the name of the Creator, they died under some cursed words, some bad action, or some evil intention. We can't eat that because this animal is sacred, and he's going to make a sacred sacrifice to keep you alive, to give you provision. And on the day of Yom HaOfer, the day we stand with the Creator, his brother four-legged will come. He will bear witness to how his life was sacrificed. The sacrifice he made on behalf of the two-legged human being, and the human being should have justification why he took his life. If he didn't take it in a sacred way, then he was in violation. And every creature will have his rights. This is what we believe. So thank you for that understanding. It was great to come. We have to be together. We have to reinvent each other as a family. And we give our pronunciation and our declaration as a unified declaration. We have nothing to say. As Brother Devin said, you have to recognize who you are. Because that's how you do it. You stop us from the world. You try to give us grief about it. We're getting our food. We got to give them some money to have this. We're in Egypt. Future belongs to the Creator, to Mother Earth. And we are also part of that. And this is our provision that the Creator provided for us. We don't need to pay you homage, pay you any money, the influence or asking your permission to have our provision that I created provide sustenance for us so that we can live and thrive in a life that's free, freedom and independence. It's so simple. Reason why they always ask you, let me see your ID, let me see this, let me see that, because they want your permission. They want you to sign, give your seal. Therefore, someone who wants something back to you. The balance is gone. The fairness is gone. So, you have to move in that way of independence, or you will remain a dependent and you will be abused. So there's no righteousness in the corruption that they have brought about for the native people. To this day, some of them have seen it in a different light or in a way that is fair and balanced for all. But those who are consumed by the greed and all those other terrible attributes, they will never see it in a quick way. Until they change that which is within their hearts. And see if they will notice. And then straight evil behavior. Why? Because his heart is hardened and darkened with darkness and corruption. As long as the heart is corrupt, all of it, the whole body is corrupt. And the heart being defeated with fear. So, the good and business people, we have a different understanding. And it's time that we embrace that which was given to us originally. And bring it back to the forefront. The world already knows what it is. We just got to do it. The question is, can we let go of the dependency? I'll turn it back over to you, buddy.
Yeah, just want to thank everyone for, you know, giving a better insight on what I was trying to say. But, I do think that's a big step, you know, with regards to declaring our independence is, you know, we first have to understand what our independence even means, you know, to us as a nation and to us as a people. You know, because there's always room, you know, for improvement, no matter what aspect of our lives we're looking in. You know, we'll never get back to what our ancestors were. You know, they once had a spiritual essence that, you know, deflected bullets, literally, you know, from white men. You know, the Calvary and our stories talk about that. You know, and I think those are the types of beliefs I was trying to reference. You know, is that they once lived on a continent where there was, you know, no cattle, there was no railroads, you know, there was no modern convenience, you know, I should say, and so they had a very 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 hard life, you know, but it was rewarding at the same time, and we had spent time with our families every day, you know, every minute of the year, you know, today we've been delineated to something that, you know, is less honorable, I should say, you know, and now a lot of people have their children being raised by daycare centers, you know, and I mean it's just what it is, you know, and so that connection that we once had that our ancestors had will probably be a while till we get back to that, you know, because we have to find a way out of this system that we're in now. You know, it was designed to kill us, you know, literally every native person on this continent, it was designed to kill us, you know, but I like to say, you know, Naso Hantana, we're still here, you know, we will always remain. You know, I was always told that the existence of the white man, we call him the Neotho, he's the trickster, he tricks us, and we have a story about him way before he came here, you know, and we understood that he was going to bring sorrow, he was going to bring pain, you know, he was going to lie, he was going to be, you know, create evil wherever he went, you know, and that's what the old ones told the young ones when I was growing up that, you know, they'll only be here for a blink of an eye in the Creator's world, you know. And so when we think about that, that's not, it's not going to be that long. You know, I think that that day's here where, you know, the animal nation and, you know, the water spirits and even, you know, the sky spirits are starting to awaken, you know, and they're coming back to us and they're telling us these things, you know. And I think it's been occurring for, you know, longer than I've been alive, you know. And just people aren't really paying attention anymore, you know, because we have all these distractions in today's world that are disrooting us from our originality, you know, our creation. And so that's just what I wanted to reference, you know, was the spirituality and the identity of, you know, regards to who we are as a people and as a nation. You know, because too many times I see within tribal governments, you know, people are thinking that they're helping, you know, they're thinking that the laws that they're passing or the money that they're getting is going to help us, you know, but it's still delineating us in the very end because we're agreeing to being compartmentalized into these check boxes and into these categories that make us less than a white man. You know, and that's just one thing I wanted to point out, you know, if we have any tribal politicians, you know, on the listening audience, you know, that's how you start is, you know, you understand the system that we're in was never meant for us to thrive. It was always meant for us to barely make it by, to live on commodities, to get 2 acres from a home site lease when we have rights to, you know, thousands of acres. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, and we were always careful with regards to hunting, you know, our sustenance, you know, and a lot of people think that, you know, that the game codes and the game wardens on reservations are good things, you know, but here on our reservation in the 70s, there was a white man who actually killed all the wild game off on the res, and the state blamed it on us and forced us to enact the game code. You know, so that's just a little backstory to Wind River there. But, I mean, the animals, you know, they'll always be there, just like the water will always be there. You know, the water's always going to be here. It's never going to go away. You know, and people are all afraid that it is. You know, it's not going to. You know, our Creator didn't create us to suffer. He loves us, you know. He wants us to live and honor His understanding. We're just too distracted to see what that understanding is anymore. You know, and that's what I wanted to point out, you know, and everyone kind of referenced, you know, something along those lines when they talk about after I, you know, after I spoke. So, and I'm thankful for that. But that's one of the major things I wanted to talk about, you know. And I guess now I'll talk about our traditional law we used to have as a people. See, I don't know how any other tribes are, but I would imagine it was the same. You know, our traditional law came from our grandmothers and our mothers. You see, a lot of people don't understand that our people, I wouldn't say we were matriarchal or patriarchal. We were both. We had an understanding of a division of the sexes. We understood that only women could understand and relate to women things, and only men could understand and relate to men things. You see, and even that today, in today's world, has been taken from us. You know, there's our structure on the reservation right now is very heavily male dominated, right? And so what do you get when you have male domination in anything? You know, you got jealousy, you got anger, you got envy, you know, you got all these things, because a lot of the times men act out of anger. You know, and so that reverts over to our ceremonies. It reverts over to decision-making processes, you know, and it just kind of screws everything up, you know. But that's one thing I wanted to mention, too, you know, was that respect and that guidance that we always got from our women. You know, and there's still strong women out on our reservations today, you know, who could give us that guidance, you know. But I feel like that's what's missing and the large spectrum of things when it comes down to independence, you know, tribal politics, anything, even ceremony. You know, is that input from that woman, you know, because, you know, my wife she was raised pretty traditionally, you know, she understands things. And, you know, when I'm troubled, I go to her, you know, for guidance, because I understand that I'm only a man, you know, and she gave birth to my 2 children, you know, and that's a sacrifice that she had to make for herself and for my kids and for me, you know. And today, every time I look at them, you know, I'm thankful, you know, because I have that balance in my life, you know, to remember to honor our women, you know. So I just wanted to mention that too, you know, and that's one of the inequalities I see within ourselves as tribal nations that we have, you know. And yeah. What are we looking at for time, Jabril?
Okay, we're at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. We've got about 30 minutes left in the show.
Is anybody else that wants to get on or talk about anything else, Jabril? I pretty much said everything I wanted to say for this point in time.
Okay, let's take caller, area code 465023.
Hello, this is Jenny. I'm here in Montana from the Blackfeet Rev.
How's it going, Jenny?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good to hear your voice.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, I like hearing what Devin, you know, for a young man, how he speaks about, you know, things. And it's very true and real how he brings it out like that, you know. The teaching did come from the grandmothers. But there's also a woman's, you know, part and a man's part, you know. So for us up here, that's why we have to have a woman and a man to balance everything out in our ceremony. But the woman's not on a pole, no man's on a pole, nothing. They're in fasting. So when we talk about the ceremonies and stuff like that, you know, you can go to ceremonies, but, you know, you have to be kind of raised with it to understand the teaching of it. Like no different than putting your child in a white man's school, you know. They start out young, and eventually they get older, and they get learn more, and they graduate. Well, that's how it is in ours. The only thing, you earn these statuses, you know. And it's all by knowledge, kind of what you were being taught, mentored while you're a child, or you were there, you witnessed it, whatever your grandparents were doing, however they were teaching. But the thing is, I kind of see what they're talking about. There would only be a male and a female within each family that comes from those original families of medicine peoples, wisdom keepers, knowledge keepers, pipe keepers, bundle keepers, everything. And for me, I don't like to give out knowledge to the people, just anyone and everyone or what. You say you have to give it to your own children first, then they'll go to your grandchildren. But today, it's like there's a lot of them out there just teaching anything and everything. You know, they're not really doing it for the good of any of our people. They're just doing it for their pocket. So when we talk about laws and protocols, you have to go back to how it was originally given when the pipe came, and then what was going on before the pipe, because the pipe came, you know, after, way before the teaching even actually began. The people were already here. So we have to stick really strictly to the story originally as it was given, as the ceremony was given, and it can't be just do whatever or what, you know? We got to be very careful how we do those ceremonies, too. But those things are real to me. You know, there's a lot going on. We had a big encampment of the Horn Society from Canada, one of our northern bands, right across the line there. They had theirs on our side of this year, which was very beautiful, you know, to see that, because there was one white woman that's been on our reservation. She's kind of older white lady. She's got blue eyes, you know, pale white skin, you know, but she's talking like she's one of us. So she tried to go out to that camp, and they chased her off because they didn't allow no white people. And which, for me, that's a good thing. You know, I think it's time for us to start protecting our ceremonies. But they kind of go by the matriarch. We were a matriarch tribe, and like Devin's saying, yeah, the matriarch and the patriarch, okay, but with more matriarch for us up here because of the story that was given. So even in a ceremony, the men are the women's helpers. They tell the men what to do. So that's how originally kind of keep that whole story of the camp, the keepers of the camp. You know, when he talked, I heard him say something, you know, these waves wouldn't come back right now or what. You know, they can come back, but it just their people are so chasing this white education more than their own ways of life. That education, I think that matters more to a lot of us now, because now that we're seeing how history, you know, their evil history is being revealed. You had those massive grave sites, you know, and they're starting over here on this side in the United States now. Starting to search for them now. And I, you know, each time I say, well, how much more do we have to prove to them, you know? How much more do we have to document to them? You know? To this, get them to understand our people were here. This is where our creation stories are, you know? Theirs are over there. Until we get that right, you know, maybe things will start working for us then. Because we're looking at all this, these changes. A lot of changes are going on. Yeah, water will always be here because Earth, you know, she'll always be here. You know, she can shake and shift and destroy all of us anytime she wants to right now. But people are not thinking about those things. They're busy going out working and shopping. As they were taught to do that through the school. Go out and find a good job, work, pay bills or whatever, you know, dress nice, whatever. But at the same time, as people that struggle through our lives that were raised with the old ones, it feels like we're the ones that are feeling all of this. Seeing the bigger picture of what's taking place today. Me, I still don't trust that government. They're too evil. They've done enough, and it's going to continue. You know, and the only time it's going to stop is when we put a stop to it. We got to take ourselves away from it. You know? But today, we talk about all this, but we're still pushing your kids into the school. So why talk about it? And if you're going to continue to do it to your own children and stuff. I'm grateful that I didn't put mine in those damn schools. They went for a little while, but then I took them out of there. And I want to teach them what I understand, you know? Not what they want to, you know, just tell you all this bullshit. You know? Well, as far as anything and everything going on our reservation, it's the same situation. We had, I don't know how many tribes went out there to D.C. to speak on behalf, asking Deborah Holland to help and protect our sacred areas and what. For us, it's shameful for the ones that went out there to represent us because there's a fault for what's taking place on our reservation. We have our chairman, Timothy King Davis. You know, his own children deal drugs at his house and what. And it's like the community knows, but even the chairman, he don't want the drug enforcement on our reservation. There's just a lot of crookedness. You know? And then people like me and many others, you know, we're trying to figure out the answer. How do we stop them? How do we, you know, make it to where, you know, they can't continue to do this, you know, because the way the white man's paper works, the way it works, it's always against us, no matter how you put it, So there's, I don't know, I could rattle on, you know, but I'm not going to.
Hey, Jabril, can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, we hear you.
Hey, This is Chinupa. Hey, listen, let me jump in here where Jenny left off at. You know, one of the things that, and even my little brother Devin tried to make an understanding very open to get everybody to ask him questions and whatnot, okay, traditionally and otherwise. One of the saddest things that our people don't like to do, and this goes to all of you that are listening in, you need to engage and start blaming the system of how it practiced and perfected colonial policies to neutralize your God-given human rights as a free people. That's the independent structure. And the quickness to all that, you know, doing this work here on an independent level, like I and my little brother, you know, been doing for quite some time, we are putting you first. Devin just gave you that understanding very openly. And I will say this in a brief understanding. What I said in the language of Lakota, and I thank my little brother Devin for coming on, and then I was referring to what Jenny was talking about. You see, the system created this to neutralize people's God-given rights, and it's here. And for the sad part of it, you still support it. All of you do. Don't tell me you don't. Because if you didn't support it, then the tribal governments would be gone. Every time the white man disperses money towards you, you take it. In other words, I go back to that same song that the Steve Miller Band created. Oh, take your money and run. Move it on. That's the same thing, okay? So in modern times, in the history of what we're encountering today, you guys don't see the big picture. Okay? The unfolding, you know, discrimination is the fact that a majority of our people really want to pick up independence. And what Devin said earlier, Devin said this real seriously. How are you going to return the dance of, you know, taking animals? How are you going to do all that? It's never left us. It's always been here, but people kept it hidden. The good example was when I brought Rosa Salamanca out to help Devin expose the graft and corruption and start looking at ways to solve the problem. The people didn't show. The fear-based society of what he's talking about engages and endorses racism. So that's what's happening here, okay? And until our people get away from that concept, then and only then can we start to think freely and independently. Just because you all look like Indians and sound like Indians don't mean you're Indians. And I'm not saying that to offend you. I'm saying that to wake you up to really realize what your purpose is on earth. And that's the life that's supposed to be promoting love to save your people. Unfortunately, a lot of you don't do that. And the crap that goes completely out in left field, where everybody's hitting out there nowadays rather than right field, you got so many people catching the ball, but it's the wrong ball they're catching. That's why methamphetamine and all these other sociological drugs that are implemented reservation is destroying their people, and you accept it. You allow it. This is why the money dispersion is going to do the same damn thing. Biden will never fix it. Trump will never fix it. Deb Haaland will never fix it. All them damn Indians that went out there from the tribal government, they're out there to lie and lobby for more money to keep you. Keep you indulging on all that shit that's going to kill you. Now, what's the next sickness they're going to come up with? They're already in works to make another sickness since COVID-19. Corona couldn't do it. Hello? Come on, folks. This is what's happening out there. But you don't want to see the white man undo his dirty work from past circumstances. Past circumstances part of the reality. Don't forget what he did to our people out in the East Coast from Maine to Florida. They knocked our people off to get at the rest of us. Well, we, Lakota, the Cheyenne, and Arapaho, took that flag away from them on the field of battle. We whipped them. And so that reality is still in place here, see? So that's why we're still being persecuted up and down. And somebody's talking in the background. I can hear the noise of them, so I'm going to wheel it back to you guys. I'm going back the other way. I don't want to hear no other walking bullshit. If you guys ain't going to blame the system, white people, it's not going to go. And whoever's laughing back there, he needs to collect himself. All right, I'm going to wheel it back to you guys because I'm traveling again.
All right, thank you for that understanding, Smith. Call in, audience. You have your phones. You can mute your phone if you get other noise in the background. So we can clearly hear whoever's speaking at the time of this. Having their turn to speak. And thank you so much for that. Thank you for that understanding, Chinupa.
Yeah. Thanks, Chinupa. Yeah, you guys need to, people need to mute their phones if you're listening in. Sometimes it we can hear the back drag of your background noise. But it's what Chinupa said is entirely true. I mean, we don't like to put the blame where it lies. You know, the blame is white supremacy. You know, it's the Eurocentric thinking that was given from the Roman Catholics all the way down to 1492 when they came here. You know, that was always been their main goal. You know, if you look at every major occupation from every independent nation up to this 2021, it's always been the white supremacy agenda, democracy, capitalism. Get in and rape the land and kill the original people, and we'll take what's left. And when we get everything out of the ground and extract everything we need, we'll give them the crumbs. And we won't help them revitalize and regenerate their society because we already took it. And it was working for them before we came. So therefore, it's ours, and we don't need to give back to what was created in the first place. You see, and that happens to the Central Intelligence Agency, that happens to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a Drug Enforcement Agency, all the way to the Department of Defense, Department of Interior, pretty much every major department of every federal entity that's in Turtle Island, they do that to us. And until we understand what the main goal was when they occupied us, which was to destabilize us and separate us, divide and conquer, man. You know, we're still living that day and age today. You know, and all the things I was speaking about, the spiritual numbness that we have, the identity crisis, you know, the lack of our own independence in a you know, familial structure with our own families, you know, we give into that. You see, and until we stop adopting these practices that they gave us, you know, and start trying to find out what makes us who we are and learning about, you know, ourselves and our history, you know, and all these things that I spoke of, we're going to keep playing into their same hands, man. You know, and that's just what it is. That's what it'll always be until we allow it not to happen anymore. But we have to be the ones to stand up to that in our own daily lives and lead by an example in our community. You know, I face that every day. I go out into our tribe. You know, people, you know, they look at me and they say, hey, that's that guy that's real harsh, man. You know, he always talks about stuff. He always says this. He always says that. You know, but those are just the naysayers. You know, when it comes down to sitting in ceremony with them, the old ones, you know, and them people that I know, you know, that they understand who I am and they understand what I did for our people through independence and through treaty. And they'll give me that understanding, you know, and they'll lean to me when things are talked about that they don't understand. You see, and that's kind of sad for me. You know, I'm only 28 years old, you know, and I got 50-year-old, 70-year-old men looking at me for guidance because they never took the time to learn it in their lives. You see, and that's what we've been diminished to. And I'm not saying that to, you know, dog on anyone or offend anyone. That's just the truth. You know, and so that's what it is in today's world. You see, and the boarding schools, you know, I want to talk a little bit about my aunt. Her name's Youth to Soldier Wolf, and she took a vow from her dad. Mark Soldier Wolf was his name, Mark Dewey. And he was 94 when he passed away 4 years ago. But he was the one who named me in our language, Nakat. And his my name means walks out of water, because he said when he first seen me when I was a little boy, I was maybe 1 year old, he said, we have on our reservations, we have like these little marshes near people's houses, and they'll fill up with water when it rains really good. And there's these big puddles that form. And, you know, when we were kids, we used to go and jump in these marshes, you know, and swim in them and stuff, you know. And some people call that dirty, you know, but that was fun to us, you know. We were outside, you know, and we were connected with nature, you know. We were just using it to cool off in the hot summer heat, you know. And so anyway, my grandfather seen me, and I ran over to my mom, and she's changing my diaper, I guess, and I jumped out the truck, and I took off running to one of those pits, those marshes, without my diaper on, and my mom was yelling at me. And he said, I ran in and dove in, and he said, I just swam around for a second, and I got out the water, and he said, I stood up, and I called for my mom. I said, nah, and I started walking towards her. And he said, he named me then, he told me that. He said, I reminded him of a little bear calling for its mother when it was in the creek. So he called him the walks out of water. You see, and he was the one that named me. And his daughter, Houston Soldier, was the one that took that vow from him and his brothers when he was younger. They made a vow to go to Carlisle Industrial School over in Pennsylvania to bring back these children. It was four or three of them. It was a horse. His name was Little Horse, Little Plume, and Little Chief was their names. They're Hetches Necha, Hetches Neschina, and Hetches Wachach is what their names were. And she brought them back in 2018. And she went on that journey, and she asked me to help her. And we did a lot of stuff, man. We worked with with the tribe, and we told them what we were going to do, and you know, we didn't need their permission. We were going to do it either as independent people, or we were going to do it with their support. And so they decided to go ahead and lend their support to us, and it didn't matter to us, we were going to do it anyway. And so we did it, and we fought with the Department of the Interior and the Department of Defense, because it's on an old naval or military base there. And so we had a pretty much pull teeth and nails, man, with the supervisors there, with all their archaeologists, with all their anthropologists, all them people there, and we had to pretty much prove that we knew the children were there. And that we fought with them for about 4 or 5 years, and finally we got a call, and they wanted to meet with us, and we went and met, and they asked us why we wanted to bring the children back. Why do you want to unearth them? Why do you want to do this? This is weird. You know, this isn't right. And we had to explain to these people their own history. We had to tell them about their consecration of the grounds. What's that, 60 seconds? 60 anyway, seconds, we had to talk about this. Okay, we had to talk about the consecration of the ground and all this stuff. And long story short, we had to educate the white man on his own history in order for them to allow us to bring these children back. But when you do that to white people, when you show them that you know more about them than they know about themselves, they become humble, and they can relate. And I'm not saying this, you know, to ruffle any feathers. That's just what it was, and we actually accomplished that. And then, you know, less than 6 months later, we had the children brought back, and we buried them in a traditional ceremony, you know, because they never had that when they passed away on them grounds over there. But yeah, you said we got 60 seconds, Jabril.
Down to our last 9 seconds, folks. Please join us tomorrow, same time, same station, same channel, and Indigenous Voices of the People. Good night. Thank you all.
Oh, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Join us tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's up? That's okay. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.